Welcome to Tapping Vegas, brought to you guys by Better and Green. Today we're breaking down Yan versus Figueiredo. Bobby, another winning week. We're absolutely killing it on that front. So let's keep the good times rolling, man. Let's talk about these five fights we have picked out. And if you guys haven't yet and you want to get in on these bets, please click the link in our description. It'll take you to all the sports books that are legal in your state that we're partnered with. Give you guys some promos so you guys can get some extra cash in your pockets right now. Especially, times are a little hard right now. So you get a little extra cash just by jumping on some bets that we're on. We're going to try to get you guys paid out as well with the bets you do play. So, Bobby, why don't you take this first bet away?
Carlos Olberg versus Volkan Ozdemir. So, very interesting fight. Olberg, originally when Olberg first came into the UFC, I was a little skeptical of him. I thought maybe he was just making his way into the organization based off his friendship with Adesanya, being a member of City Kickboxing, things of that nature, because he lost his debut in March of 2021 in round two to Kennedy Nchokwu, of all people, got knocked out cold by him. And since then, credit to him, he's really turned his career around, made the most of his opportunities, and he's been on a six-fight win streak so far. So kudos to him for turning around. A lot of finishes in between. He's had five finishes out of six fights. KO'd Alonzo Minifield, that's his latest fight, this past May on the UFC St. Louis card. Very impressive in round one, 12 seconds in. Submitted a guy, Jung Da-un. A lot of good things going on with Carlos Olberg. He's really turned it around for me. Starting to think a little bit more highly of him. Volkan Ozdemir, not doing too bad as of late himself, coming off a nice round one KO of Johnny Walker this past June. We predicted that, by the way. You're welcome. Rear naked choke over Bogdan Guskov round one, September last year. So doing big things himself. So nonetheless, though, all things considered, Olberg versus Ozdemir, how do I see this fight playing out between two guys, both heading in the right trajectory at this point of their careers in this light heavyweight division of the UFC? I think Olberg's going to be the guy to take it. I think that he's the more talented striker. It's going to be primarily a striking affair. They're both going to keep it on the feet. There's not going to be any grappling. I think Olberg's powerful. I think he's precise. I think he has more kickboxing and boxing experience than Ozdemir. And he's pretty much just going to be able to kind of pick apart Ozdemir kind of however he wants. I know that you can't do MMA math and look too much into things, but I mean, for Ozdemir to lose to Nikita Krylov, that looks terrible. For him to lose to Prochaska by getting KO'd in round two, that just looks terrible, you know? To lose to Dominic Reyes, that looks terrible. Anthony Smith, it looks bad. So I do believe that Ozdemir's turned things around. I think he's definitely a top guy in the division. He'll probably forever be around top 15. I just think right now, with how good Olberg's looked in his last six fights, with kind of the way he's progressing through the division and finishing everybody except for that one fight right after he recovered from his loss, he won by decision. I just think Olberg has the momentum. He has the experience. He has, you know, the striking acumen to be able to go out there and just really take it to Ozdemir. I mean, he's got kickboxing experience, boxing experience, MMA experience, everything. The man is a very refined striker for the sport of MMA, and especially hanging around Israel Adesanya doesn't hurt things either when it comes to increasing your striking knowledge and technique and abilities. So I'm going Olberg on this. The money line's not looking that great. Right now, if you go off of just money line, you're getting Olberg at a minus 230, which isn't terrible, because honestly, I feel like it should be even worse. He should be even more of a favorite. Ozdemir's at plus 190, so to take that edge off, I'm going to say KO, TKO for Olberg. That's at a plus 130. That'll take that edge off a little bit there. You could even get cheeky, since it's a three-round fight, say decision, and get plus 240 on that and make a little bit back. Let's see here. If you go, I figured they wouldn't let you make much money off KO, TKO, decision double, and that's minus 225. So I'm just going to say KO, TKO outright at plus 130. Prochaska has some power in his hands. I believe Olberg does as well. Plus, Olberg's actually a technically sound striker. He's not just winging it like Prochaska. He's not just reckless abandon. He's pretty precise. He's pretty good at setting up his shots. I think he gets it done with KO, TKO to take off the edge of the money line. What do you think?
you know, I'd never dream, Bobby. I go to bed and I wake up hours later. That's just kind of my, I'm that type of guy. You go down, then you're up. I don't have a lot of dreams, but I actually did this week after like a night of research. I had a dream about this fight. And I was dreaming that I was watching it, and Ulberg was winning on the cards, and then he rocked Ozdemir, and it kind of wobbled him, and he started, like, they were on the close end of the cage, and then he kind of walked back to the far end of the cage, and Ulberg just kind of, like, ran in at him to finish him off, and Ozdemir caught him and knocked him out cold.
Wowzers.
And I'm saying, as someone that never dreams, for me to remember that, I remember waking up and being like, what the heck is going on? Like, that was just really weird. I don't know what that's about, so I have to be on Ozdemir here. I'm not saying I'm a prophet. I'm not even saying any of this. Obviously none of this is backed by any stats or anything. It's just I had a weird dream the other night and I don't know what to do with it. So I'll go Ozdemir. I'm going to take him. Also, one of the things I'm thinking about here is that this is, like you said, I don't think that this is going to be a grappling fight. This is going to be, they're both standing up and boxing. Who can catch the other one first? So the fact that I can get Ozdemir on the money line at almost 2-1 odds, I like that. And then I'm looking at the money Vegas side over here. Ozdemir getting 14% of the bets and 27% of the money. So there's about 13% sharp money coming in on Ozdemir. 27% at plus 190. Yeah, I mean, that's actually pretty good for Vegas because either side, they're not losing too much. So, yeah, I guess the Vegas side isn't as bad, but the fact that it's not the public side, and like I said, what'd that do? 73% of money at the minus 230. Yeah, I'm going to be on Ozdemir here just on the money line.
That's fair. I get it.
If he does win and he gets the knockout, I'm going to wear a coat of just so many colors next week.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
We're going biblical on Tapping Vegas.
All right.
Let's talk about this next fight, Bobby. We got Kong Wang versus Gabriel Fernandez. Don't get her confused with her brother, Dong Wang.
Dong Wang.
Yeah, Dong Wang, man. Dong Wang, minus 950. You don't usually see a line that high. I mean, John Jones wasn't that high over Miocic last week. Mm. Guys, that's huge. That is huge for a women's fight. That means that they know something. And right now, you can get the over, which is a little weird. You can get the over at minus 175, under 2.5 at plus 135. So they're thinking it's going to go over that. But Kong just has so much power, dude. Kong has so much power. She punches hard. And that's one of the things, too, why we're seeing so many decisions in women's MMA. As long as I've been doing that article, I think 2 or 3 haven't ended by decision in the last over a month, I believe I've been doing that. I think this is going to be the 6th card of me doing this. We did miss one because they're in Saudi Arabia and there were no women fighting on that card. Weird how that works. I wonder why that would be. Yeah, so I'm going to say this one doesn't go to decision. I just think Kong has that power that we rarely see. A lot of the times they do get finishes, and I believe maybe all 3 of them have been submissions. Could be wrong. Go back and fact check that if you guys are interested. But I'm going to take Kong on the knockout. Dang, I can get Kong on the knockout at plus 250. You can get Kong, but the decision at minus 120. If you could do KO decision, it's minus 450. So it's still taking quite a bit off of that minus 900 number. But I'm just going to do the Kong by, I wish decision was a horrible number. The minus 120, like, kind of pulls you in. It's a little enticing. Oh, that kind of scares me off the KO, too. Because I think a lot of people might be thinking like me, thinking like she's got that strength knockout. Go with the plus 250 and get the extra money. Whereas the minus 120 would just be easy for the taking. You're just saying this lady that's a big favorite is going to win by decision. And that will work out for you how many times? 80% of the time? That seems right. Probably like the way to go. Shoot.
You're just not getting good odds.
You're not. You're not. I'll listen to what you have to say, and then I'll make my final decision.
I mean, I don't really have much to say. You pretty much described everything pretty much perfectly. Kong Wang definitely is being set up as a marquee fighter on this card to be able to show off her talent. This is her second fight in the UFC. This past August, KOTKO round one over Victoria Leonardo. I mean, I've been hearing about her for a while. Her nickname, the Joker, something that stands out. Mm-hmm. And she's pretty much been absolutely on a tear. She is just won no contest, it looks like, in the very first fight. No, it was a decision in kickboxing. So that doesn't even count because she started off as a kickboxer, so she has a lot of striking prowess and experience there. Transitioned over to MMA 2 years ago, it looks like. And so she's very young in her MMA career. She's only had 6 total fights. This is only her 7th MMA fight, period, but good amount of kickboxing experience. Has won from a rear naked, a head kick, a guillotine, right cross in the UFC. Good to see that power translate. So, yeah, it sucks because you're not getting good odds on this either way. Whether you go KO, TKO, or whether you go sub, nothing's really taking the edge off. But the only knock against Kong is she's 32, so it's a little bit older for a female prospect in this division, but it's not anything crazy considering she doesn't have all that wear and tear and she doesn't have all the injuries and everything else from a long career, so that's good. Gabriela Fernandez, they're both the same height. They're both 5'6". She's 31, not a huge age gap. Both 66-inch reach. Both supposed to be weighing in around 125. Fernandez, been in the UFC since 2023. Lost her debut, lost her second fight. Barely won a split decision against Carly Judice this past June. So, I mean, this is pretty much a cherry-picked fight for Kong Wang, like I said, to kind of show off her skill set. Start to build up a name for her and appeal to that Chinese audience on a big China card. So, I mean, it just sucks on methods. So, she's going to win. You're not getting much on methods. It's really a crapshoot.
Yeah. I think I switched to the decision here for -120. Because looking at all the losses, Gabriel Fernandez only has 3 losses. They've all been by decision. 3 KOs. 2 subs, 4 decisions in her career. Looking at Wang, 2 KOs, 2 subs, 2 decisions. So she's won 2 in every method. So it's just take your pick. And I feel like that +250 is just sitting, is just sitting out there as a trap. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe it is like to get it in front of the home crowd, but a lot of these fights that we've seen going one way, just like even last card, we thought they would end in a finish and they just didn't. So you know what? -900 kind of implies that she's going to get the KO sub, but I'm going to say Kong by decision. Is that your pick too? Are you by decision?
Yeah, I'll just roll with decision like you said. I mean, it would really prove that Kong would be the what she's marketed to be and proclaimed to be right now if she could go out there and get the finish. But it does seem like what you were saying, based off the history of only losing by decision for the majority of her losses, Fernandez does seem a bit tough to put out.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Also looking at the money, 0% of sharp money coming in on either side. This is just everybody's just piling in on the favorite. 91% of bets, 91% of money. On Kong Wang, what is the line set at? Exactly as you expect, -950. So Vegas is doing an excellent job.
Not very surprising.
No, not at all. Not at all. So this one, just kind of a clear-cut fight. If you want to take methods and be dangerous like us, I mean, the KO decision is probably like safer bet, but it's at -450, so you're still not getting paid out there.
Right.
All right, Bobby, why don't you take this next fight away, man?
Kenan Song versus Muslim Salikov. So Muslim Salikov was a guy I used to be very high on. Used to really think he was going to make some waves in the welterweight division. Hasn't really panned out because he was doing really well when he came into the UFC after he lost his debut to Alex Garcia. He redeemed himself. And he's been around for longer than I thought. You know, he's been around since 2017 when he made his debut. So he's starting to have some wear and tear, a lot of miles in the UFC. Lost his debut, as I mentioned, went on a 3-4-5-5-fight win streak. 2 years ago, lost to Li Jingliang by strikes, beat Filial by strikes, lost to Dalby, lost to Randy Brown this past February. One punch, round one knockout, tough loss. Fought Santiago Ponzinibbio this past July, barely won a controversial split decision. I'm just not as hype on Salikov as I was in the beginning of his career following him. And after he went on that five-fight win streak, he just has not been able to replicate that success after he lost to Li Jingliang. Truthfully, most people could make a strong argument he should be three losses in a row right now with one of those by finish. I wouldn't be able to put up much of a counter to that.
Right.
I mean, the last time he won, if that was the case, would have been 2 years ago at this point, last November, when he beat Filial by strikes. It's just not looking good for Salikov. Keenan Song, once again, by no means a world beater himself, as evidenced by his record. I mean, I first started following him and kind of really paying attention after he had the Ian Machado Gary fight last March, and he actually was very competitive in that whole fight with Ian Machado Gary until he finally lost to punches in round three towards the end. So I was pretty impressed by taking Ian Gary to almost a decision when he has just been – I mean, when you lose to Max Griffin in 2021 to punches, that's bad. I'm sorry, but that's a pretty damning indictment of you as a fighter, losing to Max Griffin in 2021 to punches. That's bad. Beat Rolando Bedoya after the Machado Gary fight last August, lost to Kevin Jussa last December, fought August of this year, beat Ricky Glenn, unanimous decision. So one loss, one. I think he gets this win. Once again, he's a Chinese fighter on a Chinese card. They're trying to appeal to the Chinese market. They're trying to make MMA more popular in that part of the world. Traditional martial arts very much still has a stranglehold on the Chinese scene. It's very much still the traditional, you know, kung fu, the traditional, there's like something they do in the park for like exercise. I forget what it's called, but like Tai Chi, like stuff like that they do instead. So MMA is just recently in like the past 6 years kind of become a thing in there with like, I think they're still trying to do the Shanghai Performance Institute. So they have one in Vegas, one in Shanghai. Obviously, you know, Jian Zhongnan, who we'll be talking about later, Keenan Song himself, Song Yadong, and then Weili Zhang, obviously big Chinese names. So they're benefiting from starting to get some big names in the sport from that area of the world, but it's still just they're trying to break in. And how they're going to do that is by putting on these cards in China with some decent Chinese fighters to be able to have pretty appropriate matchups to be able to give them a pretty decent shot at getting a win so that they continue to build up that audience and get people motivated to watch this instead of just watching their national fighters get destroyed. So all that to say, I think Song Qinan takes this fight. It sucks because I do believe you're getting him at a pretty decent odd. I'm going to take just money line on him at plus 154 since you're getting him at plus odds because with how Salikov's looked and also the huge age difference, this is where age starts to play a role in things because Keenan Song, 22-8 in pro MMA, 34 years old. You got Salikov 20-5, but he's 40. He's 40 years old. And that's right around where you have to be really elite in the MMA world to be able to continue to rack up wins and to continue to have a place in the sport. Those are your outliers like Yo Romero, Randy Couture. Those are the guys that could still be competitive around that age. I don't think Muslim Salikov fits that mold in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I think he's got too much wear and tear, taking too much damage, and he's just going to get caught by Song Keenan. Once again, I don't think Song Keenan's a world beater by any means. I just think in this particular fight, analyzing the specifics of it, this is a winnable, good matchup for him to be able to do all those things I already discussed. So I'm going to play it safe and just take the money line since you're already getting them at good plus odds. I think he gets the job done. I just don't feel confident enough in the fight to go down to a specific method because that's where I feel, you know, that's you end up shit in the bed, so to speak. So just going to play it safe with money line. I think he gets it done. I think it won't be an exciting fight. It'll primarily be a striking fight. They both like to stand, especially with Salikov being a wushu sanda guy. Keenan Song, just from watching the Gary fight and other fights, like the Ricky Glenn fight, likes to keep it standing, just kind of point fight, just kind of pick, just hit, not get hit. Pretty basic stuff there. So what do you think?
I'm not going to disagree with anything you said. I think it was pretty much all accurate, except I'm just going to take a different pick here. So I am on the Salikov side here, and I feel like Salikov might have burned us two times in a row because we picked him against Randy Brown, and he looked so slow and so old. And I was like, wow, man, like this is not the Salikov that I remember. Like, he looked really, really bad. And so I think we flipped, and then we covered Ponzinibbio. We picked him. He should have won. I mean, if you're watching the fight, in my opinion, Ponzinibbio should have won it. I don't know why. I don't know why Salikov got the win there, but he did. I'm going to be on Salikov here because I just feel like it's the ugly pick. You're looking at, if you do the little drop-down menu on DraftKings, 54% of the bets are on Salikov, and then you're like, man, but he's like 40 years old. Like, why is everybody on him? And then this other dude is from China. He's the Chinese fighter fighting at home. He's younger, and he's the underdog. Like, I'm going to pour in on that. And we're seeing the bets split at about 54% for Salikov, 46% for Song. But then you look at the money that's coming in, 70% of the money. So you're seeing a lot of sharp money. It's, what, 24% of sharp money coming in for Song? And then we're only seeing 30% of money for Salikov. So Vegas is going to pay out 70% of the money at plus 1.5 odds versus paying out at almost 1-2 odds at 30%. I know what side Vegas is on here, and I don't know if that Sonda, the like combat grappling style, if he's going to be able to. And once again, I think, like you said, this is going to be a standing fight. I don't know if they see it as he's going to get a takedown. This is a bad matchup that way. I just don't understand why, if so much money is coming in on Song, like money is pouring in on, we were just talking about Kong Wang, and that's exactly what we've seen. She had like, I think it was 60% of the money last night or two nights ago, and she was like a minus 600 favorite. Now, 90% of the money, minus 900 favorite. Like, that makes sense. But why is the money coming in on Song and the odds still have him as an underdog? That's weirding me out, so that's why I'm going to be on Salikov. Nothing to do with really the fight styles, because if it does stay standing, once again, I feel like it's more 50-50 there.
Right.
All right, let's talk about the co-main event. That is Yan Xiaonan versus Tabitha Ritchie. Yan, we saw at UFC 300, I believe it was. She fought the champion Weili Zhang, which, once again, this is a Chinese card. Where is Zhang? Bobby, do you know?
Right, that is a good question. I don't know where Weili Zhang is.
Because if Yan just fought on 300, Zhang, I feel like she should be, if not like on this card, she should be headlining it. Why is Yan and Figgy headlining it? This is kind of a little bit of a rant, but this just really surprised me. Is she injured or something, or is she just not fighting?
Let's look it up. Let's see what's going on. She faced her on April 2024 and she won by unanimous decision. So I don't know. Maybe she's just taking some time off. Because since it was it was honestly a pretty, she won and everything, and she should have really got the finish. So that was her second defense of the title. So I don't know. Maybe since she just already defended the title twice, she just kind of wants to take a little bit of time off to heal and whatnot.
John Jones style.
Right, yeah.
So with Yan here, once again, we did see her get choked out and go out, but apparently that fight went to decision. That was so frustrating for you and me, Bobby. That was just so infuriating. She's clearly out, and they just revive her. They just, like Nazi zombies, just went in, hit her with the revive. Seeing 74% of the money, 74% of the bets, 65% of the money on Yan. Tabitha Ritchie, I mean, she's a grizzled vet, 26% of the bets, 35% of the money at plus 164. I'm thinking I'm going to have to go with the public on this one and go with like, the, again, the kind of the nasty side here. But yeah, I'm going to have to go with Yan. I just think she looked really tough and gave Wei Lei Zhang a run for her money. And I don't think Tabitha Ritchie's on that level. Once again, you can't do MMA math, but Yan is the highest Chinese fighter on this card. She's the co-main event. So she is the main of China main event here. And they gave her Tabitha Ritchie, which just seems like a really winnable fight. So I have to go Yan here. I'll just take Yan on the money line so I'm not like messing around with it. Yan decision, probably. I believe this is a 3-round fight. So it's the Yan decision, probably. If not decision, then the knockout. I bet it's the decision. But let's see. Let's look that up real quick. What is her decision? Her decision is minus 120. So you're not even – you go from minus 198 to minus 120, and you're getting rid of two other methods. So, yeah, minus 198 money line for me.
Yeah, I can't really disagree much with this. You pretty much described it all perfectly. I mean – she lost her debut, Ricci did, to Manon Fiorot. No shame in that. June 2021, round two punches TKO. Beat Maria Oliveira, beat Pollyanna Viana. Jessica Penne, Julian Robertson lost to Godinez. And split decision with Tisha Pennington, that's concerning. Unless it was a robbery, I didn't watch that fight, so I don't know. Beating Angela Hill doesn't faze me. I just don't think she's got much for Yan Xiaonan. Like you said, Xiaonan took Wei Lei to a very, very she basically put up a very big, pretty good, strong fight against Zhang Wei Lei. It wasn't like she just got railroaded. Yes, it should have been a finish, at least on two separate occasions, had it not been for ref incompetency. But nonetheless, I mean, she just looks like she's going to be right there pretty much neck and neck with Wei Lei Zhang. I mean, strawweight has two phenomenal female Chinese fighters. And, I mean, she's been in the UFC for longer than I thought, once again. Shocked that she made her debut in 2017. But, I mean, she's just been on a tear. She was on a 6-fight win streak before she finally lost to Carla Esparza 3 years ago. That was a pretty brutal loss. Lost to Marina Rodriguez, no shame there. She's just a really good striker. She got pieced up 2 years ago in that fight, but she beat Mackenzie Dern. She beat Jessica Andrade and knocked out Jessica Andrade. That's impressive. If you don't beat Jessica Andrade by decision and you actually go out there and knock her out, that is crazy. That is a very impressive accomplishment there. And then, yeah, the close fight with Wei Lei Zhang. So I don't have anything to add. I'm 100% with you on everything, method, all that jazz. You pretty much described it perfectly.
Perfect. Perfect. And if Tabitha Ritchie is losing to Manon Fiorot, that is just French version of Yan Xiaonan.
Yeah, pretty like, much.
They're exactly the same.
Yeah.
Bobby, you get to break down now the top fight, the fight of the night, the headlining event.
So Peter Yan versus Davison Figueiredo. I'm another guy that I really like, Peter Yan. Been a huge Peter Yan fan. Still a Peter Yan fan. It's just he's had a rough go of it. And the rough go all started with the first Aljo fight when he was DQ'd for the illegal knee. He went on to beat Corey Sandhagen in his next fight, October 2021. Just masterclass over Sandhagen. Just dismantled him, picked him apart standing, played him at his own game. And I was like, wow, this guy's back on top. Never going to lose the belt anytime soon. Immediately April of 2022, lost to Aljamain Sterling. Lost to Sean O'Malley. That was a very controversial split decision. Aljamain Sterling was split, but not nearly as controversial as the Sean O'Malley fight, October 2022. Marab just absolutely destroyed him. So three losses in a row. Came back March of this year, fought Song Yadong. Finally got back in the win column March of this year. And he had some type of ACL, MCL, some type of injury along those lines after that fight. Had some surgery, got it repaired and everything. And then now he's coming back. A groin muscle injury and an ACL and meniscus. Yeah, tore his ACL and meniscus in that fight against Yadong. Ended up still winning the fight anyway. Took some time off to get surgery, heal up. Coming back now, April of this year. I'm a little concerned he's rushing back from ACL and meniscus injuries a little too fast. If that happened all in the middle of the fight in March, yet he was still able to pull out the win, he's feels like to me he's just coming back too fast. I mean, it's not the same as football, but it usually takes guys playing football until the season after to finally get back to form. This is concerning. Plus, he already came into that fight with a groin injury, as I mentioned. It just seems like he was really banged up, and he should have just taken a little bit more time off. Coming back against Figueiredo, very dangerous fight for him. So that's kind of the silver lining, I guess, to the Petr Yan losses is, yes, he's had some rough losses, but it's not the bums by any means. Aljo was the champion. O'Malley would go on to be the champion. And, yeah, he's not losing to bums, but it's still concerning in its own right, man. Yeah, Aljo O'Malley, Marab's the champion, so he's only ever lost to literal championship quality fighters. So there's a little bit of comfort there, but Figueiredo's looked really good since he's moved up to 135. There were a lot of questions about would the power translate? Would he be able to still have cardio? Would he still be able to keep up with guys that, you know, he doesn't have as drastic of a weight advantage over? And so far the answer's been yes. So far the power's translated. He can keep up with guys even though he doesn't have that weight advantage, because a lot of people were considering him a weight bully at the time. And his power itself has still managed to stay up there. His cardio's looked fine. He's been pretty darn good considering how he beat Marlon Vera, unanimous decision, pretty handily. Choked out Cody Garbrandt, unanimous decision over Rob Font. Anytime you stay striking and standing with Rob Font and you can outstrike him, and just that power makes a difference over the technical, pretty crisp, good boxing that Rob Font has, that's always encouraging. So, yeah, he's on a three-fight win streak against some pretty damn good names since moving up. Other than the rear naked over Garbrandt, though, he's not really getting the finish from KO TKO like he was in flyweight, but I feel like it's going to be coming sooner rather than later. Do I think it's going to be this fight? Normally I'd be on Yan, but here's what's throwing me off with being on Yan on this, and it's not just because I'm a Yan fan. I also like Figgy. I'm a Figgy fan as well. But what's giving me fits is I don't get how Petr Yan – yes, I get he won his last fight March of this year, but once again, it was his first fight in three that he won. He lost the previous three, finally won, but he's coming off all these major injuries. One he came into the fight with. The other two occurred to him in the middle of the fight just a few months later. March to November is not a good amount of time to recover, and he's already a minus 305. And Figgy on Moneyline alone is plus 245. I just feel like somebody's asleep at the wheel here. I just don't understand. If Yan came out of the fight completely unscathed and it was a masterclass, okay, fine. But it's really concerning that a guy coming off all those injuries that just not that long ago, we were wondering if he was even still going to be in the UFC. Is he going to get cut? Does he just like fall off a cliff? Because so many guys and girls just look so dominant. They look so amazing. And you start off, oh, okay, they're losing. But yeah, like Yan, at least they're losing to the champ or who would go on to be the champ. So he's only lost to three champs, but they still just fall off a cliff and something happens, injuries, wear and tear, the mental aspect of just like, okay, you've lost three in a row. And yes, it's been the championship fighters, but you lose a lot of motivation. You lose a lot of positive thinking. And you have to kind of dig yourself out of the hole at this point. Like, what do I have to do when I'm losing very close decisions? What can I do? And coming off a loss to Marab where you had no chance and it didn't matter that you defended 40 out of 45 takedowns, all that mattered was the five that he did get on you, it can really mess with your mental state. And for all those reasons, I just don't get why Yan is so much of a favorite, because for him to be at those odds, to me, I would have perfectly understood in 2019 and 2020 when he was at his peak, at his highest, on his ascent, climbing up the rankings. But now in 2024, almost 2025, coming off of everything that's happened to him, I don't get it. And I don't feel like it's justified. And I feel like it is a setup. And that's why I at least got to go Figueiredo money line. He's got the momentum. He's got the three-fight win streak since moving up. All the questions about him moving up have pretty much been answered at this point. He's the guy who's got the positive mental state. He's the guy that's got things working for him. And Petr Yan's the one coming off the injuries. And he's the one that's got something to prove that can either motivate him and that can cause him to have a chip on his shoulder, which is what he's usually had for most of his career and has led to him having so much success. Or it can be like, okay, that was great when I was climbing up the rankings, trying to make a name for myself, but now it just depresses me. You know, now it's just I have all this crap going on with me. What do I have left to prove? You know, his back's in a corner. Is he going to fight his way out? Is he going to kind of succumb to the pressure? At the odds that I'm getting it, I just can't pass up Figueiredo. I just can't pass it up at plus 245. It's just too good. He's too powerful. He's got really good boxing. Well, not like technically crisp boxing, but nonetheless, thudding power. Pretty decent grappler. Jan primarily strikes, but he will do like trips and sweeps from standing, like Thai style trips and sweeps and whatnot, too occasionally force a fight to the ground. But even there, Figueiredo is really good at hip escapes. He's really good at it. If he wants to get back up to his feet, he's going to do it. If he wants to grapple with you, he will allow it to happen. And eventually he can choke you out after rocking you like he did to Joseph Benavidez, like he's done to countless other people. Benavidez in my mind just sticks out the most because of how badly he rocked him and how he put out Benavidez while Benavidez was screaming with a rear naked choke. I mean, everything to me just says, why is Figueiredo at a plus 245? I just do not get it. This isn't 2020. This isn't 2019. I just can't pass it up with the power that Figueiredo has, the ability to be able to do whatever he wants grappling if it comes down to grappling. I mean, yes, Jan is technically the better striker, and he has power in his own right, but I just don't think he's going to be able to honestly kind of stand toe-to-toe with Figueiredo. I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if Figueiredo knocks him out. But for now, I'm just going to go with the money line. What do you think?
Like you said, I agree with a lot of what you said. This line is very odd to me as well. You said it perfectly. Peter Yan's been struggling, whereas Figueiredo, man, he's kind of been on a tear lately. Now, this is part of my problem here. So we're seeing 41% of bets on Figgy, 59% on Yan. It's like, okay, you know, kind of expected. Then we're seeing 33% of money on Yan and 67% on Figgy. So what is that? 26% of sharp money coming in on the Figgy side for that plus 245. Now we're starting to lean to almost 70% at almost 3-to-1 odds. Well, 2.5-to-1 versus 33% at minus 305. So they're paying out like 10% of the pot, basically. That really feels like Vegas is leaning Yan here. Once again, this is a kind of a weird card where it seems like a couple of these favorites are the Vegas side as well, or some of the underdogs for the Vegas side as well. It's just been kind of a weird card money-wise looking at it like that. So I'm going to be on Yan here. It's weirding me out. I don't know, Peter Yan, if he could get the KO or the decision. I don't think it's going to be a sub because I don't think he wants to grapple with Figgy. Man. But see, even if you do the double method KO decision, it's minus 280. So I don't love that, but I think, like Peter, he's had these losses, like you said it perfectly, to all these champions and stuff. And could he still be injured? It's like kind of, but also I feel like, I don't know, I trust Yan. If he's going to be stepping in the cage with Figgy, I think he's good enough to get the win, or at least in his mind good enough to get the win. It just seems like everything's trending Figgy's way. So I think I'm going to have to zag here and go with Peter, and just take that nasty minus 280.
Yeah. I might even come back to this for Haymaker, but I could see Peter Yan getting it done. I don't blame you. It's just, once again, as one of his biggest fans ever since he came into the UFC, obsessed with his career, huge fan, absolutely destroyed by the Aljo losses and everything else, you know, outraged at the O'Malley fight, like, I got to see signs of life before I go back in on him. And at this stage of his career, he's got a lot more to prove than, you know, he's got a lot more to prove to me at this point. So,
I mean, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Also, I think that Chinese crowd's going to be rocking for Yan.
Yeah, I do agree with that for sure.
And Bobby, you're talking about Haymaker, which is perfect for me to throw it in again real quick. If you guys haven't yet, make sure you do like and subscribe so you guys get notifications every time we post a new video. Also, in the description of this video is all the sports books that we currently have promos for. If you guys click that right now for DraftKings, if you bet $5 and the bet wins, you guys get $150 back in free bets. So, Bobby, take it away. What can people put $5 on? Actually, you know what? Maybe put $5 on something else. Put $5 on something else. Get $150 in those free bets because you want that bet to hit. But what high odds bet can they use that free bet cash with to bet on?
So what I'm looking at for my haymaker is always just an absolutely insane value that I actually think will come through with a pretty decent statistical odd of success, something realistic that will still pay you out, still get you, you know, some huge winnings, some earnings here. And for that, once again, I just got to go back to the Figueiredo-Jan fight, and I just really have to be in on Figueiredo by KO, TKO, or sub at plus 600. That's way too good to pass up at those odds. It's a five-round fight, and I think somebody's probably going to get finished in that fight. It's either going to be Figgy or it's going to be Jan, but I think it's going to be Jan. I think he finally gets finished. I think it's going to be, if he does, it would be his first finished loss in the entire UFC, which would be quite the accomplishment for Figueiredo. So let me double check that right quick. But yeah, at plus 600 for a KO, TKO, or sub for Figueiredo, it's too good to pass up. And yeah, it'd be the first time he's ever been finished, not only in the UFC, but in his entire career. And as much as I like Jan, unfortunately, everybody's career has to go down at some point. This might be the end of his career. So that's what I'm rolling with.
All right, man. I like it. I like every time that we can get on one of these big plus odds to hopefully cash out some money. And we've hit on ones this size and bigger before. So I have optimism that we can do it again here, buddy. And if you guys haven't yet, please check out bettergreen.com. That's better, BETTORGreen.com. We have a ton of articles over there. Bobby is doing a bunch of fantasy football stuff. He does MMA stuff. I have new DFS articles, and I track women's MMA over there as well. Seeing how that plus 3.5, does it really help you with the sports books? Right now, turns out no. So follow along with us over there, and we will see you guys in the next episode. Peace, guys.
Peace.